And if you would take your Bibles this morning and turn to the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Last week, I touched on these verses just kind of in passing in the Sunday morning service. But this morning, I want us to look at them in a little more detail. And so if you got your Bible open to Matthew 7, we're going to read verses 24 through 27. It says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God and for the truths that are contained therein. And I pray, Father, that this morning you would speak to our hearts from the Scriptures. Allow your Holy Spirit to minister to us and move in our midst. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help each one of us to have open minds, open eyes, open ears, and an open heart to your truth today. Help us to make practical application to our lives. We ask you for your help in this. In Jesus' name, amen. Everywhere we go, we see houses and buildings being built. And the men and women who build these houses and buildings are hard-working people. I guarantee you, when they go home in the evening, they don't have to be rocked to sleep. They are hard-working people. Now, the Apostle Paul was also a man who apparently knew some things about building. We see that in the way he uses construction of buildings as an illustration to explain spiritual truth. For instance, in Romans 15:20, Paul writes, "Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation." And in 1 Corinthians, chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, Paul writes, "Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward." So Paul knew something about building. I don't know, maybe as he walked around town and saw, men building buildings, maybe as he saw contractors working on these buildings, maybe that's when God gave him some of these verses I just quoted for you. Paul knew something about building. But not only did Paul use building terminology, so did the Lord Jesus, which when you think about it, it is really appropriate. Because remember, he was known as the carpenter's son. The carpenter's son. And it's conceivable that when Christ was in his teens, that he built things in his father's own carpentry shop. We can almost rest assured that he who created the heavens and the earth by his words, as a carpenter's son, created some pretty wonderful things with his hands. And as we think of Christ with his knowledge of carpentry, we can easily imagine him standing before a crowd, telling them what they should build their lives upon. And notice in our text, he speaks of building, but he also speaks of a storm. You see, a wise builder does not build for the sunshine. He builds with a storm in mind. For example, in many regions of this country, building codes are being completely revamped. Why? Because they've learned that building according to a code for moderate weather is not sufficient. In areas where earthquakes or floods or tornadoes or hurricanes are common, these buildings and houses have to be built strong enough to withstand the storms. And in this passage, it is implied that our life has storms. This is something we can depend upon, that we have storms in our lives. And whether or not we survive them depends entirely on how we build our lives. Now, notice in our text here in Matthew 7, the Lord shows us in His Word that there are two kinds of builders. Both are building a house. Both choose a foundation. Both experience rain, floods, and winds beating upon their house. So they're similar in many ways, but they're different in that one house was able to withstand the storms and the other one could not. And so that we can withstand the storms of life, I want us to look closely at these two builders. So first, let's consider the wise builder. The wise builder. Look at verses 24 and 25 again here. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon the rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Now notice that the Lord refers to this person as a wise man, as a wise man. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man. And in these verses, the Lord is telling us two things we must do. We must do in order to build our lives wisely. The first one is this. We must listen. We must listen. You'll notice Jesus says, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine. We have a world full of people who do not want to hear what the master builder has to say. And why do they not want to listen to his words? It's simply because they think they know it all already. The reason that many will not build their lives on the Lord Jesus is because they think they know more than the Lord Jesus. And the last thing they think they need to do is listen to the instructions of His Word. And how sad and how foolish that is. I mean, think about it. The master builder who really knows it all tries to tell people how to build their lives successfully, but instead they just treat him with contempt. And so God said that all who would hear these sayings of mine are wise. Wise people will humble themselves and recognize that they do not know it all. And they will look to the master builder to tell them how to live their life. So the first step in building wisely in your life is to listen. To listen. Truly smart people will listen to the word of God. But not only did he say that they are smart to hear, remember I said there's two things to building wisely. The second is not only are we to listen, but the second thing is we are to obey. Obey, right? It's not enough to listen. He says, hear these sayings of mine and doeth them. It's not enough to just come and hear the word of God preached. You must also obey the word of God. You see, that's where the rubber meets the road. Now, in the book of James, we see it clearly taught that we must be doers of the word and not just hearers of the word. And I want you to see that. So keep your finger here or put a marker in here or something. But turn to James chapter 1 for a moment. I want you to see these very wise words from James. And we'll begin in verse 21. It says, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." Notice, "but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own self." Now, listen to this carefully. "For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass or in a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." So what is James saying here? Well, he's saying, suppose you look in the mirror and you see some dirt on your face. Well, you might leave home with it still on there if you don't immediately remove it, because you're going to forget that it's there if you don't take care of it immediately. Well, using that principle, James states that coming to church and looking into the Word of God allows us to see the spiritual dirt in our lives. And if we don't take care of that right away, then we may leave the church and forget what we heard. And if we don't deal with it right away and we forget it and we leave the church and don't take care of it, we're just going to go on in our sin. We're gonna experience the chastening of God. We're gonna lose our joy. We're gonna lose our sense of His presence, and we're gonna be a poor testimony for Him. And so it's important to deal with the things that need to change in our life and deal with them as soon as God speaks to us about it. And do not wait till later. Deal with it immediately. You see, in churches across America, we have people who have heard the Word of God preached many times, but they have a big problem. And the problem is they've never obeyed what they heard. And according to our Bible passage, that is very unwise. Very unwise. In our text, the wise and the unwise both face the same storm. But the big difference is that the wise builder has built his life upon the Lord Jesus and upon His word. And when the storms of life came, he was able to stand because he was built upon the Lord. He was built upon a sure, strong, solid, unmovable, stable foundation. And God's word clearly reveals that Christ is that rock on which we are to build our lives. And all those who do will be able to survive the storms of life while others sink in the sand. Verse 25 again, back in Matthew 7, and it says, "And everyone that heareth these..." No, let me go back, 25 rather. "And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, for it was founded upon a rock." That's the wise man. Built his life upon the Lord Jesus and upon His word. Well, now let's take a moment to talk about the unwise builder. Look at verses 26 and 27 again. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. In our culture, people tend to follow a buffet approach to religion, picking and choosing elements from various traditions which they find personally meaningful. But God doesn't see it that way. According to the Bible, there are not many ways, all of which more or less are equally valid and equally beneficial. According to the Bible, there's only two ways. One way leads to life, the other way leads to death. And in verse 26, there's something very important. We read that the unwise builder hears, but he does not obey. Now the question is, obey what? And the answer to that question is, obey the gospel. Obey the gospel. And the fate of those who do not obey the gospel is recorded for us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. And it's a very terrible, a very awful fate, but look at it with me, please. 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 8 and 9. Verse 8, it says, In flaming fire, taking vengeance of them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. And so in order to avoid that eternal flame and that destruction that's described here, you have to obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. What does that mean? What do you have to obey? Several things. First of all, you must honestly, freely, willingly admit to God that you are a sinner deserving hell. Because to be honest with you, you're never going to be saved from your sin until you see your need to be saved from your sin. And so you have to be honest with God about your sin. That's the first step in obeying the gospel. The second step is believing that Jesus shed his blood and died on that old rugged cross for your sin. He was taking your place on the cross. He was taking your punishment for sin so that you could be forgiven. He paid the price for you. And you must believe that, and you must believe that Jesus rose again the third day so that you could have eternal life. That's part of obeying the gospel. And third, you need to turn from your sin and turn to Christ, calling out to him, letting him know that you are trusting him and him alone for salvation and eternal life, and that you are inviting him into your heart to be your Savior and Lord. That's how you obey the gospel. And a person is foolish who builds their life on anything else. Anything other than Jesus is sinking sand. If you are, for instance, trusting in religious rituals like communion and baptism to get you into heaven, guess what? Sinking sand. If you're trusting in your church membership to get you into heaven, guess what? Sinking sand. If you're trusting in some Christian ministry or Christian service that you are doing, sinking sand. If you're trusting in your own good works and the way you are helpful and kind to people, sinking sand. As we sang at the beginning of the service, on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. For 12 years, the Leaning Tower of Pisa was closed to the public. Now, the reason it was closed was because the Leaning Tower was leaning more and more and more and became very unstable and very dangerous for people to be in sight. And so they closed it for 12 years. And during that 12-year period, contractors and engineers completed a $25 million renovation project designed to stabilize the tower. They removed 110 tons of dirt and reduced its famous lean by about 16 inches. Now, why was that necessary? It's because the tower has been leaning further and further and further away from vertical for hundreds of years. And it had gotten to the point where the top of the 180-foot tower, the top was 17 feet south, more south than the bottom. And so it became dangerous. Now, and they realized that if they didn't do anything, and this continued, then that tower, which was the main attraction of the city of Pisa, Italy, they would collapse. Now, what was the problem with the tower? Was it bad design? No, it was not. Was it poor workmanship? No, it was not. Was it an inferior grade of marble? No, it was not. The problem was what was underneath. The sandy soil on which the city of Pisa was built was not stable enough to support a monument of that size. The trouble was the tower had no firm foundation. And the question this morning is, how's your foundation? How's your foundation? Are you a wise or a foolish builder? You know, we live in a society where many people think it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. The only problem with that is that it is possible to be sincerely wrong. In Proverbs 14:12, Solomon talks about that. He says, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death." There's only one sure foundation to build upon. There's only one way to heaven, and to reject it is to be a foolish builder. And the only way to remedy that is to obey the gospel. Let me review quickly. First, admit to God you're a sinner. Number two, believe Jesus died for your sins and rose again. Number three, call out to Christ and receive him as your Savior and Lord. That's what turns you from being a foolish builder into a wise builder. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God and for the truth contained therein. Thank you for this passage of Scripture that very, very clearly explains to us the need to have the right foundation for our life. And we thank you that in our Savior, in the Lord Jesus, you have provided for us that proper foundation, that solid, sure, stable foundation. And Lord, my prayer is that if there's anybody here today that has not put their life on the rock, they've not called out to Christ and received him, they've not established this foundation in their life, I pray that this morning they'd see that to be their greatest need, that right now, right where they're seated, they would pray, "Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner and I deserve hell, but I believe you died for my sins. I believe you rose again so that I could have eternal life. Please come into my heart and be my Savior. Forgive me, cleanse me, give me a home in heaven, make me one of your children." And Lord, I know if they'll call out to you that way, you're not going to turn them away, because you don't turn people away who come to you in faith. And for those of us, Lord, who have taken this step of faith already help us to also remember that the principles of this passage apply to us, that we are to listen to you and we're to be doers of your word. Help us to remember that it's not just enough to sit in the church house and hear the word of God. Help us to take it with us and live the word of God every day. Help us all to be wise builders. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.